feel His presence? Mm-hmm. You know, His presence is always with us. The question is, are we aware of His presence? And my prayer has been, even like before this retreat and even through last night, my prayer has been that God awakens every one of us to the presence of God that is already with you and I. Amen? You know, I thought that was me. Eli, where are you? That's crazy with your testimony because, you know, like when people ask, oh, are you ready? Did you prepare? I'm like, sure. And, you know, for my personal intercessors back home, I have it on my phone text. You know what I've been saying? Because usually when I go preach, it's like I have the inheritance that I received from our house, and it's like I give that. But coming here, I was telling my intercessors, I feel empty. Like, I have nothing. Like, I feel like there's nothing in here, but I have to give out of emptiness. And that's exactly what I've been saying to my intercessors. And I've been saying, but I have faith that I'm like an empty water hose. I'm empty, but I'm just a water hose. And the water of the Holy Spirit will be able to, like, flow through. What He's going to give, how He's going to, that's up to Him. And I'm just empty. You know, I've been saying that to my personal intercessors, and you come up here and you testify. I just feel like what I've been experiencing was also prophetic of what the daughters and what you've been experiencing. It's not just you, but it's prophetic of what the daughters in this house have been experiencing, right? But in that midst of emptiness, God is teaching you and I to trust. Not to trust in our own strength, wisdom, ability to receive and give, but even in my emptiness, I trust God, that God is there. And beyond my ability, He's able to come and touch us. Amen? So I thought, man, that's crazy. That's awesome. Amen? All right. So I want to talk to you about covenant relationship today. And I believe through this word, I believe God wants to take you in this house to a deeper relational connection through covenant relationship with God and covenant relationship with one another. So if you could rise and open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 29, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 29, okay? In verse 2, Moses summoned all the Israelites, okay? And then he summons everybody to come together, and we're going to read from verse 9. Okay, New King James Version once again. You there? Deuteronomy chapter 29. I'm going to start from verse 9. It says, this is Moses talking to his people, God's people. Carefully follow the terms of this covenant. Everybody say covenant. So that you may prosper in everything you do. All of you standing today in the presence of the Lord your God, your leaders and chief men, your elders and officials, and all the other men of Israel, together with your children and your wives and the foreigners living in your camps who chop your wood and carry your water. You are standing here in order to enter into a covenant. Everybody say covenant. With the Lord your God. A covenant the Lord is making with you this day and sealing with an oath to confirm you this day as His people, that He may be your God as He promised you and as He swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am making this covenant with its oath, not only with you who are standing here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, but also with those who are not here today. You know what that means? God was making covenant many thousands of years ago for you and I. For you and I. Hmm? Verse 18. Make sure there is no man or woman clan or tribe among me today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. Now I'm going to read one more scripture for you. I want you to close your eyes and just allow the voice, okay, of the covenant, that voice that comes from the covenant. This comes from Ruth chapter 1 verse 16. This is what Ruth said, okay, to Naomi. Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there, I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. God, I thank you that you are our God of covenant. God, the way you deal with your people is through covenant. God, you make covenant with your people, and you invite us into making that covenant with you. And you're calling your people to make that covenant with one another. God, I pray that you would give us a greater, a deeper understanding of what that covenant relationship is, how we are supposed to live out that covenant in a relationship with you and with one another. God, as you call Solomon's Forge, God, daughters to enter into the deep end of your presence, of your water, Lord, God, we cannot go into the deep end by ourselves. Only in covenancy can we go. So, Father, right now, I pray that you would, God, take control of our thinking patterns, that you would renew our minds, Lord, that you would remove the lies of the enemy that corrupts the picture of covenant that you have blessed us with, Lord. God, we want to be your people of covenant. Help us understand. Help us to live that out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, God is a God of covenant. Everybody say covenant. And we, as his people, we are called to live in covenant relationship. You want to encounter God and experience God consistently? Not just when you're at a retreat, but on a day-to-day basis? You want to be able to experience his presence while washing dishes? It's not just when you're praying for people or counseling or you understand? You could experience the presence of God as you're doing dishes. Right? I mean, you heard about St. Francis, right? People would travel hours, get on the plane, go wherever he is, and they would just stand in the back and watch him wash dishes in the kitchen. And as they're watching him washing dishes, people are crying. Why? Because this man of God knew how to practice the presence of God. He knew what it meant to walk in covenant relationship with God. So the spiritual thing isn't just fasting and praying and prophesying, but in a mundane day-to-day, washing dishes, folding laundry, you could experience the presence of God. But only in covenant relationship. You understand? God is God of covenant, and we as people, we are called to live in covenant relationship. You and I were made for a covenant relationship. So let's talk about what is that, okay? A covenant relationship is a legally binding love relationship. Everybody say legally binding love relationship. Covenant relationship is legally bound between two lovers, okay? Legally binding love relationship. Definition is a formal, okay? It's not just, oh, what I feel, right? It's a formal and legally binding agreement, okay? It's a mixture of law and love. mixture of love and law. Okay? It's like marriage. Okay? Covenant relationship is what you are meant for and what I was meant for. You know, a lot of Christian neurologists and psychologists say, okay, it's not just in the Bible. When God created us, He made us a relational being. And according to neurologists and psychologists, there are five things every human being needs in order for that human being to thrive, okay, in life. Okay? You need to write these down and you need to pursue these five things, because without it, I don't care, even if you fast 21 days a month, you're not going to feel like you're thriving in life. Number one, okay? The first thing that you need to be able to thrive in life is a place where you feel belong. Okay? A place to belong. A place to belong. This is where I belong. Okay? Number two, second thing that you need to be able to thrive in life is to receive life and give life. That when you come in your covenant relationship, they give you life. But then it's not you're just receiving, you also give them life through your presence, right? Number three, third thing that you need to thrive, okay? This is from neurologists and psychologists, okay? Number three is the capacity to recover from things that go wrong. You know, it's like little kids, they're gonna fall. And it's painful, okay? But we have to grow in a capacity, okay, to recover when things go wrong. You know, when God created you and I, there's a little joy center in your brain. So every day when you wake up, you're supposed to be joyful. Even if nothing great happened, your normal state of being, you're supposed to be just joyful. And as you are walking in joy, right, when you're in that joy center, it releases serotonin and, you know, oxy, whatever, like all these good chemicals, right? It just releases and you're just happy. But when you experience pain, someone like me, you know, my grandmother's like dying wish in her deathbed was, "Sonny, please be careful so you don't fall and bump into things." Right? So I'm like, right? And you know, when we experience pain, physical pain, emotional pain, relational pain, when we experience pain, you know what happens? From your joy center, you get kicked out of your joy center. And when you're kicked out of that joy center, then it releases these negative chemicals of, I'm alone, right? And when you stay there too long, that's when people get clinically depressed. And now you're going to need some extra work to balance those chemical, right, brains in your chemical. So the third thing that you need is when you are kicked out of the joy center in your brain, the capacity to get up and go back to the joy center. Okay, that's the third thing. I wonder, you know, you're supposed to learn this when you're a child. But I wonder how many adults really have this capacity, right? But without a place to belong, you don't know how to learn this by yourself. Number four, four things that you need to thrive as a human being is to mature as you get older. You know, like when you're an infant, you're supposed to cry and not, you're not supposed to earn for what is rightfully yours, right? You have to receive life without asking. You just, and then somebody, shh, you know, and somebody just changes your diaper, and somebody just told you. As an infant, the first skill that you're supposed to learn is to receive love and life freely. But how many of you really learned that skill? You know, according to neurologists, when you mature, you have to go in. Instead, you can't just not get this. So many of you, if you're not able to receive love freely and you feel like you have to pay for it somehow, why are you nice? Why are you buying this for me? What are you going to ask of me later? What if you think that, especially single people or married people in love relationship, what? what you want, right? You're not able to fully receive. That's, you know what I mean? That means you haven't matured yet. You're still infancy level in your maturity, right? And so for infant, freely receive, right? And you're supposed to see delight in people's eyes. When you enter into the room and you look out and you just see your mommy and daddy's eyes, it's like, wow, I'm a delight to them. You're supposed to learn that. And then you learn that and you go to the next level of maturity, which is childhood. You know what childhood, the skill you're supposed to learn is? You learn to take care of yourself. You learn to ask for what you need. How many of you learned that skill? When I was first dating Benjamin, I realized, oh shoot, I don't even have a skill of a child. Because in my relationship with Benjamin, if he doesn't do what I need him to do before I ask, it doesn't mean anything. If I tell you, you don't really love me. You don't really love me. Benjamin's like, I don't know what you want. Why can't you just ask? Well, if I tell you, it nullifies. You're supposed to just figure it out if you love me. I put him through H-E-L-L, and I thought that was supposed to be true love. And what I realized later on in life is just, I was just immature. I did not mature. Right? I was still emotionally a child. Okay? Child, you're supposed to learn to do hard things. Did you know that? One of the skills that you're supposed to learn as a child is when it's hard, you have to learn to do hard things. How many adults have that skill? When it's hard, you give up. I don't want to go to church. You just break it off. It's like, I know what you're about to break. Let me just make it easy for you. The end. Talk to the hand. And then you fall into this. Oh, I'm never going to get married. I'm gonna die old age by myself. And you just fall into that. And you know what then? You haven't matured. You're supposed to mature from infancy, failure to see, and childhood, right? Learn to do hard things and ask for what you need. I learned this the hard way. Because for many years in my relationship with Benjamin, it just didn't feel right if I had to ask. And because I didn't ask, he couldn't figure it out. And so I just have to live life without getting what I want. And then I thought, wait, this doesn't help him. It definitely doesn't help me. And you know what? I have to go back to my childhood level. I have to learn how to ask. You know what, Benjamin? Can you please take the garbage out? No, not later, now. Benjamin, can you please do the dishes? No, now. Not passive aggressive. See, you don't care. You don't know what's on my plate and you expect another. No, that's passive aggressive. Without being emotionally passive aggressive, just ask. Can you? Sure. Okay, thank you. Oh, right now I can't. No, you can't. Oh, when can you do it? You know, it didn't feel right. It didn't feel right at that moment. But as I learned to do the hard thing, guess what? Now I don't have to do the dishes by myself. Now I don't have to worry about taking the garbage out. Right? Mature. You are supposed to mature as you age. Right? So that's number four. Number five. The five things that you need in order for you to thrive is to live from your God-given identity. To live from the heart that Jesus gave you. Live from the heart that Jesus gave you. Oftentimes, when you're going through difficult times, it's like you lose yourself, right? I remember, like, I was talking to Cindy Murray. I was talking to Cindy earlier, and I was like, when I was dating Benjamin in the beginning, I put him through H-E-L-L, right? Like, I broke up with him 1 week anniversary. you know, Benjamin, like, he wants to be romantic, and he wants to celebrate 1 week anniversary, 2 week anniversary, 3 week anniversary, 1 month, 2 month anniversary, three month anniversary. And he's kind of dull up there, so he doesn't realize that every anniversary outing, I broke up with him. He's like, you know what, Benjamin, this is not working. The end. And I would just walk out.
Abraham at that time, and he came to Abraham in vision and said,
Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Right? And then, and, you know, they have a conversation, and, oh, you have a son, and that's like, no, you know, look at the stars, you know, that's how many sons you're going to have, and he's like, how will I know that you're going to really bless me? And he's like, look at this land of Canaan, I'm going to give it to you, and he's like, how do I know that I'm going to really receive this? And this is what God did, bring these animals, okay? And so Abraham brought these, like, three different type of animals, he cut it in half. But you know what was amazing is this. I want you, later on, I want us to read Genesis chapter 15. Abraham understood when God said bring an animal and cut it in half. And you know what he did? Because in ancient Israel, that's what you do. It's like you sign in your signature when you buy a house or when you buy a car. It's like legally, your signature legally binds that purchase, right? So Abraham knew when God asked to bring those dead animals and cut it in half, he knew exactly God was going to ask him to do. And he was ready. He was ready to walk through these dead animals and said, let it be to me like these animals if I don't keep my side of this agreement. But in Genesis 15, instead of God asking Abraham to walk through these dead animals, you know what happens? God walks through. And God says, let it be. Let it be to me like this animal. If I, or even if you don't keep this, even if you don't keep your side of this agreement, let me take your punishment. Let it be to me. And that's what the cross is, guys. That God made covenant with his people so that we may enter into this kingdom relationship with God. And we can never keep fully our side of this covenant. And you know what Jesus did 2,000 years ago? He allowed the punishment of not keeping that covenant to break his side. That's the God we're making covenant with. That's our God. That when he's inviting you into this covenant relationship, he's saying, I'll take everything. I'll take the responsibility for this relationship. Language of love and intimacy. I will make you my people. My. You're mine. You belong to me. We all need a place to belong in order for us to thrive. And God is saying, I will pay the price so that you belong to me. I will make you my people. You belong to me. You may not have a family. I may not have had an earthly father that I belong to. But God the Father said, but Sonny, I pay the price that you may belong to me. You are mine. He used personal possessive. You understand? You are mine, people. Mine. Language of law. God said, I will seal them. Sealing with law that you are mine. Covenant is a relationship that is out of love and out of law. You know, covenant is this, just making your love relationship by making it legal. You see a guy and a woman falling in love. You know, those infatuation stage. It's like, oh, I'm so in love. I just want to talk to you all night.
Why go for that appointment?
I don't know how to phone. Just text me. I have issues. I go for a lot of inner healing. My husband, my poor husband, he's like the quiet, the emotional. I love you. I'm like, oh, thank you. I have issues, guys. Right?
Amen.
But you know what? When boy and girl fall in love and they go through that infatuation stage, you know, especially she's down, it's like, oh, Lisa, it's like, nah. Right? That. When you fall in love, it's good. But you know what? You know what? It's not legally binding until you get married. Marriage is a covenant relationship till death do us apart. Till death do us apart. And marriage is a legally binding love relationship. You know, modern day covenant is this. I think this was from, I think, Chris Valentin. I listened to so many sermons, I forget who said what, okay? This, I think, is Chris Valentin, right, from that book. This is what he said. Modern day covenant is like this. Okay, ready? I will be what I should be as long as and to the degree that you are what you should be, and if you're not, I'm out. You need to say that one more time? Because even us, as covenant people of God, we live by this often, okay? Modern day covenant is this. I will be what I should be as long as and to the degree, okay? To the degree, okay? That you are what you are, what you should be, and if you're not, I'm out, okay? But the biblical covenant is this. You ready? Biblical covenant is this. I will be, actually, why don't you repeat after me? I will be what I should be, whether you would be what you should be or not. Okay? Biblical covenant is, I will be what I should be, whether you would be what you should be or not. Okay? So, you know, husbands and wives, who's married over here? So I make sure I talk to half married people and half single people. You know, in love relationships, sometimes you get hurt, right? And you keep track of how, right? When was the last time you took me out on a date? Huh? You just expect me, right? Oftentimes, we're out. If you don't keep your side of the bargain, I'm out, man. And, you know, as Christians, we may not divorce that, but emotionally, we cut ourselves out. We're out emotionally. And then at night, they want to come, and, you know, they want to cuddle, and you're like... You know why you do that? Because you went, you're like, I'm out. You didn't keep your bargain of your side, so don't expect me to... You want something at night? You better give it a day. Pastor Diane says to husband, if you want to, make it up, doesn't start at night in bed, it starts during the day. And so often, you know, as women, remember what Pastor Diane said? You didn't make love to me during the day. And you want to do it at night? No, it doesn't work like that, right? Oftentimes, it's husbands too. It's like, I will be what I should be as long as you are what you should be, to the degree to what you are, but if you're not, I'm out. Then we have to be fair. But what we understand is that's not biblical. That's not spiritual. Because we didn't keep our side of the bargain, but God still came to us. That's why he went to the cross. Even though I wasn't what I should be, Jesus said, well, out then. You know what he said? You know what? I'm still here. I'm still here. And oftentimes, cross is an example. Oftentimes, people go from church to church because they feel offended. I don't belong there. They don't understand me. I'm like a fish out of water in this church. But you know what? I don't care how many churches you visit. You're going to feel like that wherever you go. No church is perfect. We're all human beings. But even in that brokenness, when you enter into a covenant relationship with God and with one another, often, maybe you won't be what you should be. But I'm not going to get out of this relationship. Even when you did not answer my phone call or respond to my email about the lift, you know, you said you were going to come, but you didn't come, and you feel I feel a little bit hurt because, you know, like, you give me your hand. Oftentimes, you're like, cut, over. I know I can never rely on you. I know now. That's modern. organ in covenant relationship, I'm still here. Even in my pain. Because Jesus, when he was experiencing pain on the cross, he's like, forget it! I'm doing this for you! Often mothers, we do things for our children! And they get mad at us! But we never say, forget it! I don't want to be a mother anymore! Even though sometimes you want to say that. Right? Sometimes I'm like, I'm so bad. Like, I have to repent. So, when I'm reaching out and a lady is like, you know, not responding, I'm like, you need to go. You need to go. I'll go. She's like, no, mommy. I'm like, okay. But that's bad. Don't ever do that, right? You need to repent from that. Covenant relationship. That we are to keep our side, no matter what your husbands, what your house church members, or your leaders, even if they stop being, you're supposed to still remain, just like Jesus remained on the cross. One of the things my pastor told Benjamin and I, because oftentimes when we fight, Benjamin and I fight a lot, okay? We're both strong personalities, right? It's like, oftentimes, I go to my bedroom, and then Benjamin goes to his office, right? And then I'm still like, okay, maybe, okay, this is not Christ-like, right? But you know what my pastor said? He said, Benjamin, don't go to your office. Stay in the room. Oh, but pastor, like, the atmosphere is so negative. It's like I'm getting, like, you know, like, slashed. Even if she's not saying anything, I'm getting slashed ever. I just want to get, I want to run away from that atmosphere. But Pastor Benjamin said, I'm not asking you to fix it. I'm not asking you to do whatever you can to, no, I'm just saying, remain. Learn to be in each other's presence when it isn't great. When it's painful, remain. Remain. And you know, that's what we, it's oftentimes it's like, I don't want to, you know, but we still remain. And you know what? It's hard. Sometimes I'm like, just go to your office. We'll talk about it later, right? It's like, Benjamin's that obedient child. You know, Pastor Dan said that. But learning to remain in relationship, even when it's hard, that's biblical. You hear me? In covenant relationship, both sides has to say, I will be what I should be, whether or not you are what you should be. Both sides. You are more important to me than even myself. And I give you part of my freedom out of love. Out of love. I give you my part of my freedom. You know, at Living Hope, I experience this covenant relationship with our people a lot. You know, Benjamin and I are like total opposites, right? Like, he wants to do everything at the last minute. I like to plan everything in advance, you know? He doesn't write his research paper when we were in seminary till like 1 a.m. And it's due like 9 a.m., right? And he always gets like A's, right? Me? No, I ask before even teacher says anything, I look at the syllabus, professor, in a few months, you're going to, can I have a conference in advance? And I research in advance. You understand? When I go on vacation, I plan from morning till night, I'm going to get the most I can. Benjamin wants to sleep in. What are you doing? We're in Hawaii. It's vacation, you're supposed to rest. No, get up. Mondays, and we were miserable. I try to do what he likes to do. I hate poetry. I don't want to hear anything that rhymes. Even when I don't feel powerful, even when I feel empty, I'm still gonna hold on. this, God. I pinky promise you. That's both ways. Covenant relationship versus consumer relationship. Today, I want you to reassess your relationship with God. Is it, are you truly living out covenant, or is it more consumerism? Consumer is this. You want to get the best deal for your money, time, and energy. You want to get the most as little as you can get. That's consumer. It's like grocery store. How many of you are loyal to, what's Safeway around here? Yeah, that. How many of you are loyal? You go to another grocery store, right? And you find out, like, this tissue is $1, but at whatever Pocket Shop, it's like $5. You'd be like, I don't care if it's only $1 over there. I am loyal to Pocket Shop. I will pay $5. None of you. Nobody would be that loyal as a consumer. That's why people are able to say, sorry. Sorry, Solomon Sports. Sorry, Lisa. I just don't feel belonging. I feel like in order for me to grow, I gotta go. I don't feel bad. It's consumers. That's consumers. I'm hurt that I was sick and nobody knew. Oh, did you call anybody? Well, if I have to tell people, it doesn't mean. A baby, a child. How would people know if you don't call? But we just expect. Well, even if I would come, nobody would know. Of course nobody would know because you don't make yourself know. Consumerism is so alive in churches in this day and age. Covenant relationship. Look at what Ruth said. Ruth said to Naomi, please don't tell me. Please don't urge me to go. I don't want to leave you. Where you go, I will go. Lisa, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my God. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. If you are able to enter into that covenant relationship with your pastor, there's a greater level of spirituality that you experience. It's a greater level. It's like, Lisa, I got you. I got you. I will go. Where do you go? I will stay. Where do you stay? Even if I don't get what I need in that moment, in covenant relationship, I go where you go. Oftentimes, you try to go somewhere else, and your pastors are that way, and you're mad at them. You're angry at them for not going where you want to go. That's consumerism, not covenant. Often we exchange covenant relationship that Jesus paid the price for on the cross for consumer relationship. Feeling offended, feeling hurt. You know what? As a pastor, we get hurt too. After all those years of me counseling you and praying for you and fasting for you, you're hurt that I didn't hug you last Sunday. I didn't even see you. You saw me, you should have came to me and hugged me. But now you want to leave church because I didn't see you? I don't have that in mind. We get hurt too. And you know what? I feel hurt by God too. Oh my gosh, God. The things that I've done for you, risking my life, and I'm still here, and these people that, you know, they're not even half committed as I am, and look what they're out of God. What are you doing? Often we feel that from God too. But in that moment, I don't judge God, but I learn to trust God. You know, last year when I was here, I talked about what, raise your hand if you were here last year when I was here. I talked about perimenopause, right? Now all the guys came up talking about, I have perimenopause, whatever, right? You know, going through perimenopause. And I start to despise one of my strongest strengths, which was responsibility. For the sake of responsibility, I would give up sleep, I would give up food, I would give up everything to be responsible. And Benjamin, we thought about that the most, because Benjamin has this free spirit. Oh, you don't feel like coming to prayer? It's okay. No, that God is with you. Enjoy your day off. I'm thinking, what? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you ready to die for God? Is that about to pray? Oh, come on. Right? And Benjamin and I are like, oh, all right. But during perimenopause, I hated being responsible. For all my life, for Robinson and Sun family, Thanksgiving, Christmas, always at my house. Always, both families. And then before perimenopause, I loved it. Going shopping and cooking, oh, they're gonna, and you know, as I'm cooking, I'm all excited. Oh, they're gonna think this is so yummy, oh my gosh. And after they leave a mess, I don't mind, oh, right? After perimenopause, set up a mission trip to Philippines so I don't have to be. And you know what? I told my husband, I need a personal vacation. Not just from church, but from you. From the lake. So after Philippines, I have to pray about myself. Usually, on mission trip, I sleep on the floor with the orphans. Even on like family vacation, I find the best deal. Right? I save money. That's me. But you know what? In that 1 week of personal vacation, I stay at Sheraton. And when we met for the first time in my Christian life, my puppy, baby girl, or whatever, Nezuki. And in that moment, I just welled on this bus, right? I was like, because babies can't fight for themselves. They can't pay for anything. And I feel like God was saying, I'll fight for you. And I said, keep fighting. Even when you're weak, in a covenant relationship, the other side arises and says, I got you. Not only God, but even in my covenant relationship with my people, all people probably know what is wrong with Pastor Sonny. Same thing, you know, Ajumas, like middle-aged woman. Like when I grew up, like, why are they saying that? I find myself saying things, and I'm wondering, why did I say that? Like, whatever I feel, I just sit, I'm like, did I just say that? Oh my God, such an Ajuma, right? And I've been doing this too. My people are like, Pastor Sonny? But even as a pastor, even in my weakness, these people that have covenant relationship with me and said, we got you, Pastor. We don't stop respecting you because you're struggling. We got you. And then when our people, they're failing and they're going through, I don't go, oh man, how could you? No. You know what I say? I got you. You can't fight? I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for you. That's what covenant relationship is. Most joyful relationship is covenant relationship. It starts with God and with one another. A lot of people want a personal relationship with God, but they don't want a covenant relationship with God. That doesn't work with God. You want a personal relationship with God? You need to make covenant. Same thing in your house, in your church. You want to be supported. We cannot enter into a kingdom relationship without making covenant relationship. I'm going to end with this. This is Paul. Like, when I saw this, I'm like, oh, that's perfect for a covenant relationship. Covenant relationship is walking side by side like this. Not this. Not this. Follow me! No. Covenant relationship is this. When you're facing the right direction, you see what I see. You hear, do you feel comfortable? You know, doing missions in Indonesia, personal space has become very, you know, I don't mind. But a lot of people are like, but when the enemy attacks, you are able to get each other's back. Yes. When you're not walking in covenant, nobody has my back. I have your front, but you're alone in the front. But covenant is this. You see what I see. You go wherever I go. But when there's demonic, I got your back. And you got mine. This is covenant. This is covenant relationship. I sense in my heart that, you know, it's deep in Lisa's heart and Pisa's heart. That's why she specifically asked me, can you please talk on covenant relationship? Because they're ready. They're ready to. It's not that they didn't have covenant with you. They always have. But they want to go deeper into this covenant relationship with their spiritual family at Do you want this? Then you gotta choose covenant over consuming. That means you gotta remain in the place of pain even when it gets difficult. I want you to stand. Let me pray for you. You wanna walk in the knowledge of His presence. You know, you could have moments here and there, even when you don't make covenant. But if you want to experience God's presence daily, that you are able to experience His presence when you're working out, like my best friend, like I shared with you. That she could hear the voice of God working out, doing something she doesn't want to do, but knowing that she had to do this. That she could experience the presence of God. For you to experience the presence of God, even when your relationship is still broken, and you have to remain in that brokenness, but you are able to still experience His presence without covenant. Without covenant, you are at the mercy of anointed leaders. But when you make covenant, you can live. You can know and you can live. All you have to do is just stop. Just stop. Even when your kids are going crazy and you want to just throw in the towel in that moment, just to stop. And know that you have a covenant relationship with God. Therefore, even in this chaos, you could enter into the awareness of His presence. That He's with you right here in the chaos. So Father, right now, I pray for your daughters in this room. Will you give a deeper, fuller understanding of what covenant relationship is? Not to cry for what I need and what I want, but to lay that down before the cross and say, no matter where I am, how I feel, what situations or seasons I'm walking through, I am here with you, heart and soul. God, I pray that you would take Solomon's porch in this season to another level of covenant relationship. Just like Juanita and Pisan had for 20-something years, that distance didn't break this covenant relationship. Time away from each other did not in any way destroy the covenant relationship. Father, I pray that you would empower your daughters in this room to not only want, but to pursue after the covenant relationship with you and with one another. And you know, by the authority God has given me in His precious name, I just break off fear off of your mind right now. I break off of fear. Some of you have that anxiety, that performance anxiety. Well, you know, like, what if I'm not able to be the person that they need me to be? You know what? I just break that off of you. Because you are perfect as you are. Even in your weakness, even when you feel empty, we still need your presence. Your presence still is needed. Your presence is still wanted in this house. So I break that off. I break that off of you. And I break off this disappointment from the past that keeps you from entering into covenant relationship with your brothers and sisters here. I break that off in Jesus' name. And I establish you in the truth of God, that you are called for covenant, that you are made for covenant, and that you are to live out that covenant with God and with one another. And you are able through Christ that is in you. Father, I thank you for this covenant relationship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to do something prophetic. Is that okay? I have like 10 minutes of reflection time, right? So this is what I want us to, if you could have like worship playing or something. And I want to have Lisa come. And maybe Juanita, you could come stand next to her. And you know, this is something that we did at Living Hope a couple of years ago. And it's so powerful for me. I remember at a retreat, one of our mentor came, and like he allowed us to do this prophetic act, and people just came. You know, not all of you have to do it. It's okay. You could do it like, you You don't have to do it right now. But if you feel led, I want you to come do this, is this. I remember one by one, people just came up to me and said, you know, I made covenant with you, and I give you my gift of whatever. And I remember one of our worship pastors, Chinwen, like, she's my BFF, right? At Living Hope, right? And she came and she said, Sunny, I make covenant with you, and I give you my gift of friendship. Do you know how much that means to me as a pastor? As a senior leader, to have somebody that says, I give you my gift of friendship? I failed her many times, but she never walked away. And as people come and go at Living Hope, and when people say, I'm leaving, you know what Ben and I do? We bless you. We just bless people to go when they feel led to go. And we say, we give you all the inheritance of the house. We bless you. We send them. And one day, she came to me and said, Sunny, if I ever say that it's time for me to go, you better not just send me. You better fight for me. I was like, oh, okay. That friendship gives me so much strength. And I remember another person came and said, Pastor Sunny, I made covenant with you, and I give you my gift of commitment. I give you my gift of administration. I give you my gift of prayer. You know, as they came up, in the beginning it's kind of awkward. It's okay. Feeling awkward is okay, right? Learning to do what is awkward and hard is a skill that we all need to learn anyway. So I want to invite you to do that. I want to invite you to come do that with Lisa. And I want to ask Lisa to stand next to her, because she represents that covenant with Sam and with Lisa, and now with the whole Solomon's porch. And Juanita, as they come forward, I want you to receive that gift. And I want you to, and in a sense, as they receive, they give. Okay? And one of the things that I tell our new hopers is Benny and I will never walk away from you. You can walk, turn around and walk away. But even if you fail, even if you fall into sin, we will never walk away from you. We give you that. That we will always cover you and love you and go before God on your behalf. That's what senior leaders, what we are offering you in covenant relationship. Okay? So as we worship, yeah, just for, you know, we probably don't have time for everyone, but as you feel led, like when you come, you and when you bring your gift, you represent many others in the house with that same gift, with making that same covenant. Something is happening in the spiritual realm prophetically as you come forward. Make publicly showing, I'm making covenant with this house, with my pastors, and I give you this gift. Amen? So Father, right now, will you speak to those that you want to have come prophetically, Lord, that you would inspire them, that you would show them, Lord, the gifts that you have given them for this house, for their pastors, Lord. That you would anoint them, empower them, and as they take each step to the front, Lord, every step, Lord, that you would strip off every fear, that you would strip off every lie of the enemy that kept them from entering into a deeper covenant with you and with the people of God. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would anoint this prophetic time in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah, I want to ask. for. For consumerism, God. Father, we start today. We break off every consumer mindset among us in this house. In the name of Jesus, we declare today that we are a people of covenant. We make covenant with you, God. We make covenant with our leaders. We make covenant with one another, God. We will walk in covenant relationship.
Too vulnerable. But then I saw many, many people as they are kind of feeling like that turtle as they kind of step out a bit.
Yeah.
That shell kind of came off and became like a shield.
Wow.
All of these ladies took that shield and stood next to each other.
Yeah.
And it was like this huge, powerful wall that just everybody linked arm in arm with a shield. That power that we are able to just really be able to embody in the Lord and for each other with Him was just like, wow, okay, that is something that I think we want. But it just takes that step. And really, even within myself, I needed Rebecca to ask me, do you think God has something for you to share, Mom? I don't think so. And then he's saying, right? Like, they're like, oh, come on. So I just, you know, it's even when you don't know what to do next,
yeah.
You could be there for someone else to encourage that next step.
Yeah.
And I'm just so grateful. And don't let your pride get in the way, that fear. Just say, okay, you know, and you walk with them. Just that next step, whatever that looks like, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, wow.
It's a mighty warrior.
Amen.
In the Lord.
Amen.
That's so powerful, isn't it? That no longer you're going to hide in that turtle shell, but You're going to come out, but you're going to use that, the painful things that you've experienced in the past that made you afraid, that's going to transform into a shield to protect others, each other, that are making covenant with you. That's powerful. And Lisa, the reason also why I made you come out is I want you to just look around. Look how rich you are. Look how fruitful you are. Look how blessed you are. This is what you see is you. When you look around, this is you. This is you. And I hear the Lord saying to you, even the struggles and the things that you have gone through that made you stay and remain in that total shell, even that was prophetic of all these women. All these women that are still in that shell. And you coming out, I know it's difficult, it's not easy. But you coming out, there's a breaker anointing that I talked about last night with somebody. There's a breaker anointing on their behalf, no matter how painful it is. As you come out, you make a way for others to come out. And when you look within, you don't see much. But you look without, wow, this is me. This is us. Together we can come out. Together we can advance. Together. There's such powerful prophetic unction over you, Lisa. That even though you feel like I'm not much, but when you open your mouth, it shifts atmosphere. When you open your mouth to prophesy, it establishes people. When there is death, you open your mouth, life comes out. There's a prophetic unction over you. You know what that means? That means as a house, all of you, there's a prophetic unction over you. And together, I hear the Lord saying to the daughters of Solomon's porch, open your mouths, prophesy life, prophesy life to one another, prophesy, son of man, can these bones live? When you prophesy, what is once dead will live again. So will you just lift your hands to God just one more time? Surrendering your fear. You're surrendering your fear. You're surrendering that turtle shell before God right now. God, I surrender it all. And I will risk shame, rejection. I will risk anything that I'm afraid of to come out of this turtle shell on behalf of others. God, as I make covenant with you and with one another, God, I thank you that you're taking this house to another level in the spiritual realm to release heaven on earth, to release kingdom here in Hong Kong and all over the nations, Lord. God, we will prophesy life. We will prophesy breath. And we will raise up a mighty army in Hong Kong. In the nations, as we prophesy, we will raise up a mighty army that will fight your battles, that will fight your battles on behalf of the lost souls, on behalf of the band. God, we thank you that together we are mighty. God, we thank you together we are anointed. God, we thank you together we are bold. And we will be what we will be. As we remain in covenant with you and with one another, we thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let's give you praise.